The reading is from Exodus chapter 17, verses 1 to 7. Water from the rock. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, travelling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarrelled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and our livestock die of thirst?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord answered Moses, "Walk on ahead of the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink." So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarrelled and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning. So we follow on from last week, when we looked at the story of the Israelites grumbling and moaning to Moses about the lack of food and how they were starving. God shows his faithfulness and grace, and in response caused bread to come down from heaven so they had enough to eat. If they had too much, it would go bad. A lesson learned. Let's move on to the next story. Well, in some ways you could say they have moved on. They're now on to lack of water. The lesson learned from last week seems to have been forgotten. Mind you, they have a point. Water is life-giving and essential if they are to survive. So I wonder how you react when under extreme pressure and how you would react in this position. I'm sure the answer would follow a pattern. And often in these circumstances, a different you comes out. Perhaps you get hangry, which is hungry and angry. Or feel faint from thirst due to lack of water. But around us, we have the resources to deal with that fairly quickly. Our shortages, there being no food and water, which was said in the press, is very different from this scenario. This is enough to test anyone's patience and affect how they respond. So when you are hungry or thirsty or feeling faint, and as things go on, it can test anyone's patience and affect how they respond. However, with the Israelites, their previous experience had not gone into the bank of experience of trust to be saved for later. If this was a test from God, which it was, they were just not getting it. God was most likely upping the ante a little on the trust front. "I provided last time with food. Let's see how the trust gauge is on the lack of water side of things," pushing them a bit further. So as I said, water is something that obviously is essential to life. It's genuinely life-giving. We cannot live without it. Thirst was something Jesus faced on the cross, and he could not bear it. One writer said that only a very lively faith or total resignation of the situation would make the people be patient in this situation. It was extreme, and more people would be starting to complain. And complaining can be contagious among a crowd, so others would be drawn into this very quickly. So it is said God is leading them to an extreme point of physical existence to help to start to develop a pattern or a habit of faith and trust in him and his provision and complete reliance on him. So a question to ponder at this point. Are you aware whether God does this with us, obviously in different ways, Or do we sometimes forget our own past experiences in the face of testing? How easy or difficult is it to continue to trust God with each step of our walk with him, even if the steps get longer? We are all on the same journey, as in the story, but with different extremes. Last week, Ben mentioned doubts as being part of this walk with God. If your faith is to grow, there will be points along the way when we can doubt God's provision for us. We share the same human characteristics as those in the passage today. And that's not a bad thing if we acknowledge it and deal with it. It can actually strengthen our faith and help us to be more trusting in the future. These experiences go into our bank of trust as we grow in God's direction in our lives, for us in our lives. Like with the Israelites, he will call us to move on in our journey with him, but he will direct the way we should be going. I can attest to that, standing here. I did not just decide this was what I'd be doing and breeze into it. Trust me on that one. There have been many doubts along the way, testing me in what is extreme for me, to learn how closely I would follow him and what he wants for my life. The steps getting longer the more I trusted. The journey and the direction becoming clearer. But that's not to say I won't have doubts or nothing will change in the future. I'm only moving on to the next thing, on the same path others have trodden before me. So I've not had one giant leap of faith, but step by step going a little further each time as I've trusted his plans for me just a bit more. So I've developed a pattern of trusting him, but I have also put him to the test often. Usually along the lines of, well, I think this is what you're saying to me, or I don't think this is what you're saying to me, but if such and such happens, I know it is. And that such and such varied each time. It may be someone speaking to me, it may be just something happened that was totally unexpected. But it would be some kind of signal to me that affirmed I was heading in the right direction. I often got more than I bargained for. Do not put the Lord to test, particularly if you're not ready for the answer. One particular time of doubt, I was sitting in a chair near a window, listening to the song, "Open My Eyes, Lord, I Want to See Jesus." I was really wrestling with the words, but praying them nonetheless. I looked up from where I was sitting to look outside, and in the trees, I saw a face. A face that many would recognise in pictures of how they think Jesus would look. Now, those who know me, I hope, know that I'm pretty rational and down to earth. So this was so far out of my comfort zone to get my full attention. I looked away and tried to rationalise it. I looked again at the same trees and could see nothing at all. It wasn't the pattern of the trees. The first image was so striking, I could not ignore it. It rattled me. So in this story, God is testing the Israelites, but they were also testing him. A commentator wrote, "They tried his power to get water in a dry land. They tried his patience, showing distrust and grumbling at Moses. The Israelites had forgotten that God directs their movements and existence. When they grumbled, Moses did not take it upon himself to resolve. He directed it straight to God. He didn't blame him, not, what have you done to these people, but, what shall I do with these people? He never finds fault in God, only wants directions he can carry out. The human condition under extreme pressure can encourage aggressive attacking others over wrongs and can also make us to be slow to thank others for good deeds. This is not always the case, and those that show a depth of faith that many would struggle with. Edith Eger was one such person. She was a child in the war and has since written a book called The Choice about her experience in Auschwitz. She has a lot to teach us on how humans react under real extremes and can still be trusting. She talks about the depths of darkness she faced and the indomitable strength of the spirit within us. One example of this was when she was in the camp. She was a young girl who had been a keen dancer. One day, she was asked to dance for an officer known as the Angel of Death. He was a man much to be feared. And Edith was not in a position to refuse to do so as she was asked. A bizarre situation at a time when she was being ill-treated and starved. After she had danced, she believed she was only allowed to live as the officer got called away. However, she was rewarded for her dancing with a loaf of bread. Her response was not to eat it all. Instead, she shared it with her bunkmates. The reason she said is that she was grateful to have bread. She was grateful to be alive. She had learned that to survive was to transcend her own needs and to commit to something that, or someone outside of herself. This act later saved her life. On being forced with others to march for days onto their next destination and fainting with hunger, she knew her life would be taken if she fell and tried desperately to continue. The others around her, her bunkmates, laced their fingers together to form a human chair. "You shared your bread," one of them said. She got back to the camp safely. Edith remembered the night she danced and recalled he did not kill any of them that night. He gave them bread. So how does this work for us? How can we be grateful? And how can we learn to trust God? Well, Jesus came down from heaven to show us the way, to feed us with the bread of life, his living word, his life and teachings. Jesus died on the cross to bring us back to God. In doing so, he shed blood and water from his side. He died to sustain us and give us life in him. He is sufficient for our needs. He recognized the characteristics of basic human needs, hunger and thirst, which are also spiritual gifts to us in times of extreme pressure. We remember these gifts when we join together in the act of sharing bread and wine at communion, non-COVID times. So how do we respond to these gifts? Well, one way is suggested through a book called Sleeping with Bread. It's based on a way of praying called the Examine. The Sleeping with Bread is illustrated by taking us back to the bombing raids of World War II, where thousands of children were orphaned and left to starve. Those fortunate enough to be rescued were placed in refugee camps, where they received good food and good care. But many had lost so much they could not sleep. They feared they would wake up to the same circumstances, homeless and without food. Those caring for them did not know what to do. So someone had an idea to help them. Each child was given a piece of bread. By holding the bread, they could sleep in peace. The bread reminded them of a different experience. "Today I ate, and I will eat again tomorrow." So this helps us in following the Examine way of prayer. The Examine is part of a wider work by St. Ignatius called the Spiritual Exercises. Ignatius expected that God would speak to him and will get to know us through our deepest feelings and yearnings. Consolation, connecting with ourselves, others, God, and the universe. And desolation, being whatever disconnects us. The Examine is something you can do on your own or as a family. It's done at the end of the day so you can sleep with bread, reminding you of God's presence through the day, his provision for you. So the two questions. For what moment today am I most grateful? This will remind you of what went well, to see where God is speaking to you and giving thanks as you discover the day's consolation, the rightness, allowing God to reveal more of his faithfulness, grace and love unfolding in our experiences. It could be seen in something from nature, the face of God in all things, food, water. The second question, for what moment today am I least grateful? Name it, feel it, acknowledge your feelings, and hear how God is speaking to you through these moments. Healing may occur as you acknowledge it and notice God is with you in it. God works through good times and when you trust, and in the not so good. He can often be more in those times when things are not going so well. Those who are experienced in practicing the examine noticed that it became a habit to help them reflect through the day, to see and be thankful where God was with them in the good moments, as well as hearing what God was saying to them in the bad. Something to hold on to as they slept. By following this pattern, it's possible to start to see what is important and significant in our day-to-day lives. And a pattern emerges as to what feeds us, gives us life, and what drains us. It can point to how God has, does, and will meet our needs to give us more of life with him. It will not mean the end to doubts. Doubts help our faith grow. But it will help us in our ongoing journey of following Christ and having life in all its fullness, even under extreme pressure. There is no testing God's patience, no tempting his power. Just finding a way to experience and remember his faithfulness, love and grace in our lives. Would you join me in a prayer? Lord, help us as we leave today to recognise your presence in our lives. Help us to trust you in the good and not so good, so we can be who you want us to be. Amen.